Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What's Right with Men, a weekly radio program dedicated to exploring and discussing what it means to be a man in a post-feminist world. Now here are your hosts, John Freeman and Roger Wetzel.
Good afternoon and good evening, everyone. Hello, John.
Hi, Roger.
How's it going?
Oh, it's pretty good. We're having a summer here.
Nice.
Not guaranteed in England. It's been nice.
Excellent. Well,
how about you?
We have an interest. I'm good. You know, just plugging along and doing my thing and feeling good. Today we have an interesting show. We have a guest, and the topic of today's show is what women want from men. And I hope that for the men and women listening to the show, back your input questions. The number to do that is 1-347-205-9869. And again, the number 347-205-9869. And before we get started, we see the weekly disclaimer. This show might be outrageous, irreverent, controversial, same subject matter, and language. Be politically incorrect, but it will be informative and fun.
So, Roger, are you there? Because I'm beginning to wonder whether I've lost sound or whether you're not coming
Roger,
in anymore.
Roger dropped. So it looks like your guest also dropped. it's the John show. They will be in just a moment. I'll let you know when they're in. Just a moment.
Okay. Well, I will talk among myself for a moment.
Okay. Here comes Neil, by the way. Dale is now live with you.
Okay, so welcome back, Dale.
Thank you. Yeah, we dropped your...
Right. I trust that this is just can be a one-off. So until Roger gets back in, I guess maybe the best thing I could do is ask you to talk about yourself and tell us all what it is that you would say makes you an expert on what women think about men.
Well, let me see. Great subject. Why would I be an expert on what men think about what women think about men? Okay. Well, I've been around a long time, and I've been in relationship pretty consistently through my whole life since I was 14. I was engaged at 15 and married by 17. And my last husband, which was my fourth husband, we just completed that marriage 4 years ago, and we're good friends. In fact, we're hanging out Friday night. So I've had some experience, and I also coach and counsel people. And a lot of people come to me, women come to me to find out how they can be more attractive and heal parts of themselves so they can really be ready for a full-on partner. And lately, men are coming to me, find out about finding their soulmate and what women want. So what I can
right,
say
so
is...
So you're hearing lots of what people think from lots of angles, as well as having a pretty large degree of insight for yourself.
Yeah.
I believe we have Roger back, so I'm going to let him carry on where he left off or wherever he wishes to pick up.
Good.
You there, Roger?
Nice to be back. Thanks for having me on. you know, I, the way I wanted to
start this is that I think that what I was starting to say when my cell phone dropped off is that we live in a world where a fantasy in some regard. And I was reading something this morning that I wanted to kind of kick the show off. And I think coming into this where you kind of are now, Dale, you can address things from that perspective because of your relationship history and your expertise on what women want. But it's that whole idea of the Cinderella story, right, where there's a poor, mistreated damsel in distress who falls in love with the prince. He takes her away and gives her a life where she lives happily ever after. They've made movies about that. And so I think that there's been a lot of focus and energy put on in that direction, especially for women. And so I just wanted to, you know, kind of kick things off with that in mind as we move forward through this conversation today. And how do you see that that idea of Cinderella and the Prince Charming? And I know that you've had to kiss a lot of frogs throughout your life. But how do you see that playing into how women see themselves in relation to men and what they want out of a relationship?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, and what I have realized that there are different varying degrees of women's emotional maturity and health, emotional and spiritual mental health. And there's a difference between what unhealthy women want and what healthy whole women want. And I'd like to address that up front.
Sure.
First of all, an unhealthy woman wants to be rescued. She wants to be absolutely rescued because she feels she cannot do it on her own. Like she is not half, you know, the old song, I'm not full Barbara Streisand, people who need people. These songs have been brought to us, which have really hammered in codependence, which really, we have a bunch of people out here, including myself growing through that. I feel myself healthy now at this point, where codependency was a romance. You know, codependent. I can't be anywhere without you. You're my other half. That's codependency as far as I'm concerned. And the unhealthy is really, I cannot do it myself. I'm half. I'm not whole until I'm with you. And for me, I feel there's something missing there. It's like your wholeness. So what I teach people and what I encourage people to do, and when a woman comes to me and she's looking for a man, I say, okay, first thing, stop looking. Stop looking right now and look at yourself. Become healthy yourself. And as I teach them self-nurturing processes so they become full, so that when they love, they give from the overflow instead of to get. And at this place, it's an empowering place. And then the empowered women, when they really look in their heart and that inner child and they're integrated and then they bring out their fun, playful self, they want to be cherished by a man. They want to be adored. They want to be protected. Protected meaning like having a, you know, being next to a big oak tree, you know, just having the strength
right.
of the masculine, rooted and grounded. Women, we are creative and we are like, you know, creative and fun and playful. And sometimes we really need a man just to hold us and say, come here, baby, let me hold you. I want a masculine man who does that. A man who still has so much respect for himself that he has clear, healthy boundaries, that he says, yes, I'll do this, this, and this, but no, I will not do that. That's betraying myself. So a man who's true to himself is a sex man for me. A man who knows himself enough where he say, I will not betray myself to give to you. I will not cut off my arm so that you may have an extra arm. No, I am going to stay whole as I enter our relationship. So the woman really wants to feel adored and cherished. And by the way, guys, a woman can never, ever hear that you're beautiful too much. Never. Like, you know, I train women to teach men, you know, to look at men and have respect. Because if you can't respect a man, you can't be with him.
Right.
So, and a man, from what I understand, I've been experimenting with this the last few years, is truly not being with any man that I don't respect. Because that doesn't work for me. So for me to be in my feminine, I get to be with a man who is powerful and strong in his masculine. We're not talking like, come here, woman, let me beat you. No, we're talking about a man who is strong and healthy, also has his softer side and not afraid to show it. But I'm not looking for, women used to want a man who would sit down and talk and process. Now, I would call that an unhealthy woman, and I used to be there. I wanted a man to process everything with me.
But
and
can
now
I, can I, ask, can I wait, can I interrupt you there for a second?
Please.
I think that, in regard to that, because I think that I can relate to that. John, can you relate to that whole thing about processing everything?
Certainly.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if that's just, I guess my question to you in regard to what you just said, is that an unhealthy person, or is it just a part of the growth process that a lot of us have gone through? I mean, because I remember, you know, that whole, I can't remember. I was in a relationship with someone one time, and they wanted to process every single thing. And for men, that can get really oppressive. But at the same time, there's a fine line there. So I'm just wondering.
Yes. That's part of the journey, absolutely. So I like the reframe. It's not the unhealthy. It's part of the growing, the evolution of it. And I think it's important to process stuff with a man and a woman together. But when a woman is like, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, but when a woman is going through her own little snits and her own little emotional issues, I don't want to bring it to the man that I'm with. I mean, I can say, listen, sweetheart, I'm going through some issues right now, but and tell him what I'm going through, some fears and stuff. If it has to do with myself and my own inadequacies, it's nice to have him just listen and not try to fix it, because I know if I tell a man this stuff, most men want to fix it, and I love that about men. I love that most men have that masculine quality where, okay, honey, I'll fix it. And you can fix my broken table. You can fix this, but my emotional body, a man can't fix it. It's just a part of me evolving, but it's nice to have a man to just be a backboard for it. But I prefer to have my girlfriends, instead of the man that I'm with, I prefer to have a girlfriend that we just have our process girl talk, and then I can tell them, this happened and that happened, and can you believe, you know, she said this, and it affected me, and I'm still vulnerable to that. To say that to a girlfriend, for me, feels much better. I think it's healthier. I don't really want the man to tell me, well, tell me every little thing about all that. And most men don't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the beauties of live radio and doing like we're doing today and we do every week is that when you drop off of the show, you miss parts of it. And I did not take the time to introduce you, Dale. So I want to stop for just a second and just give people an idea of who you are. And so Dale Bach is the author of a book called Mama Trauma, If It's Not One Thing, It's Your Mother, which has been out for, what, a year or so?
A couple years, actually. Just a couple.
Okay. All right. She's a motivational speaker as well as a licensed Agape spiritual practitioner, and has her master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. So now that we have that out of the way, let's get back to our conversation.
Thank you. By the way, it's my great privilege to be here with you on this. I love this topic, what's right about men, because for a lot of years, I kept looking to see what was wrong about men. And I love that you're doing what's right about men, because I actually took PAC's program with Alison Armstrong. I had to take it twice because the first time I put my hands on my hip and I say, are you kidding? I can't believe this. And the second time I took it, I was humbled because she was saying the first whole program that for women to be cherished and loved and adored, which is what we really need and want, we need to change the way we look at men. We need to respect them. We need to, like, you know, really honor them and to realize how different they are. And I had my hands on the hip for the first, I'd say, 7 years. 10 years. of me going through this book because I did it slowly. And I says, I don't think so. So when my third marriage fell apart and the man married, my third husband married a woman who knew exactly how to treat him. She respected him. She honored him. She understood him. And when I saw the man that I made a raving lunatic and she made him like a puppy dog, I said, okay, there's something to it. So I went back to the drawing table and I retrained myself, retrained my brain, changed my ways. And I'm so grateful because now I really love men and I honor them instead of, like, I'm not against them anymore. I'm for them. But I had to reframe.
I think, yeah, and I think the one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is because we've known each other for quite a few years, and I kind of know the backstory of you in relationship, especially early on, and the things that you experienced and the attitudes that you had, and so let me ask you this: given that background and that history that was, you know, and I'm not speaking out of turn here, that was dysfunctional for a lot of years, what is it, do you have like a list of things that you could identify that women want from men?
That women, oh yeah, definitely. They want, clear list. Here we go. They want a man to say to them, you look beautiful. This is simple, right?
Uh-huh.
They don't ever want a man to look at them and go, are you wearing that? No.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, wait, I want to ask this question because I've joked with this question about for a lot of years, right? It's that whole thing about what you just said. Are you going
to
wear
that? You never
tell
her that she's fat. Yeah, you don't tell her that she's fat. You don't care if she's gained a few pounds. You don't say any of that ever.
But let
ever.
Me ask you, do you
even
think
if
that's
she asks you.
But the question itself, like there's that question, do these beans make my ass look fat, right? From a male perspective, and I don't know, John, please chime in here. I think that's a trick question.
It's a double-edged question. You might want to say this way. If the woman says this to you, say, hey, darling, guess what? You know, you can get real and say, you know what? You gained a few pounds, and I love every bit of you. One man said to me, you're going to make me love a fat woman?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love this guy a lot, so I let him get away with it. But he got the point. He said, you know, I love you. He said, you're going to make me love a fat woman?
Right. So what's the next one on your list?
Okay, so you tell a woman she's beautiful, you tell her every day, honey, you look gorgeous in that. You make that dress look amazing. These are the lines that if you say from your heart and you mean it, just look, stretch to find how beautiful she is. And as she gets older, you want to really say, I love your wisdom. I love the compassion you have. I love how you care about the world. This makes a woman feel that she's seen. A woman wants to be seen. She wants to be seen for her internal beauty as well as her external beauty. Acknowledge her, see her, and love her and adore her. That you do that, you got like 50% of it. The other one is, you know what, I'm old-fashioned. At first, in the early 70s, okay, I'm 64 now, in the early 70s, a man would open my door. I'd say, I can do it myself, thank you. And I wouldn't let him open my door. Now, I sit in the car and I wait for the man to open the door. And I say, thank you, I appreciate it, gentlemen. Okay? So... Mm-hmm. Wherever she is, you know, some women still want to do their own, but I love that stuff, opening the door, you know, putting the chair there, having really caring. Now, you also want to learn the woman's love language. Is it spending time with her that makes her feel really cared for and loved? Is it words? Is it flowers? I always love flowers. I'm that love language. I love them all. I love to be adored. I love to be cherished. I love to have somebody bring me flowers on the first date. Even if it's a daisy, I don't care. Something that says he thought of me on the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the love language is, you know, I'm not an expert in that, but I know that for me it's like do things for me. You know, like, wow, when a man fixes something for me nowadays, I really appreciate it. because I've been single for 4 years, and so it's like for me to try to do a lot of this stuff, it's almost impossible. I'm a real feminine woman at this point. I've changed my ways. It feels good. So
right,
for a woman to feel safe is real important. How does one thing that really helps me see character in men, and if I'm dating somebody in the first date or second date, I see if he's driving the car and he's swearing because somebody else is a jerk or cut him off, that shows a lot of character, guys. It shows a lot of lack of character. It shows a lot. Women are paying attention. When I'm in a car with a man, I want to know that he's courteous and that he cares about other people. If somebody cuts him off, he slows down and he just takes a breath and doesn't make a big deal out of it and makes it maybe a joke. Wow, that guy must be in a big hurry. Makes it light, reframes it instead of being the victim and reactive. Women watch behavior. If a man's reactive to me, it's like, next, I don't want to be with a man who's not healed enough. So it's nice to have, women also, for me, I like to know that a man has other male friends. That means he can relate and, you know, I like a guy who, I'm not into sports at all, but if the guy that I'm with, if he likes to play with cars or sports or something, great, go do it. Just, you know, have fun with it and don't make me sit there and be with you the whole time. But if you need me to be there every now and then, I'll do that just to show support and love, but don't make me do things I don't want to do. But I will do things for us if you want me to. But you have to tell me how important it is. Protect it. Like when I'm walking down the street with a man, I want him to walk on the outside. So if somebody, you know, that old thing where he's going to get hit first, I love it.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel better. Some guys don't know about this stuff. You know, the other ones don't know so much.
Right.
So I hope younger men are listening to this. You know, all women appreciate this, whether they're 30, 40, 20, or 60 plus. They all appreciate it. I don't particularly care so much to hear about how the past relationships turned them on so much, or I like to hear what they learned about them, but I don't need to hear the details about why that person really, you know, made them fly so high, because I'm different.
Right.
What I want to hear is why I do that to you.
Right. So
what
me,
is it
and,
in?
And give, so that's something that. Well, I think that's probably that whole idea of trying to prove that I the conquest. Right. Here's my past conquest. Type behavior,
right?
But let me ask you this. And by the way, let me give out the number for people to call in. It's 347-205-9869. That's area code 347-205-9869. So, given that you've given us some really good ideas of what women would like to have from a man, let me just flip that a little bit, and given what you were just talking about, what is it that women are completely and utterly put off by in regards to male behavior in relationship?
Well, one thing in regards to relationship, after you're in relationship for a while, the taking advantage is really hard. You know, it's like all of a sudden you become like, okay, all right, let me get back, because it's been 4 years for me, but I spent my whole life there. Let me just, when I'm in relationship with someone, what is it that really puts me off?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things you said,
One thing that got me really upset. Go on. I'm shutting up and I'm listening. It's a big thing to me, but I'm going to shut up.
One of the things that you said is when you're in a car with a guy and you see him like screaming at other drivers, that really puts you off because it has it's a reflection of their character. So that's kind of
a red flag.
Okay. All right. So So it's those kind of things that that's kind of what my question's about. What are some
of those
things?
So if I'm in the car, if he drives recklessly, I get really scared.
Okay.
So I want to, it's like, get me out of the car, I'd rather walk. You know, I don't want to be in a car with somebody where my nervous system is like amped up. I want to know he's a safe driver, and he may want to do that on his own. Great, but if I'm in the car, cherish me and protect me enough from that kind of behavior that could cause me harm.
Mm-hmm.
My third husband, this was like 25 years ago, we're in Rome, and some of the Italian guys were like, you know, making advances at me because blonde in Rome, okay, Italy. And he got a little upset about that, but then what he started doing to get back, he started looking at the other women, go, oh, she's really beautiful. And I'm saying, excuse me, I'm your wife. You're trying to get me upset? And he said, oh, look at those breasts. And I don't know what prompted him to do that. But if any man is ever with me and he's looking at another woman's breasts, I want to slap him. And that night, I ended up just, like, leaving the restaurant and walking home, like, you know, like, by myself.
It sounds, Dale, like being Italian is contagious.
Well, I'm part Italian, too. I'm Sicilian, so it doesn't help so much. You don't...
You weren't quite playing the game there.
Yes, contagious, right. So, I mean, if you're with your buddies and you want to talk about the anatomy of other women, great. But to do that when you're with a woman, oh, forget about it. That's not a good thing. There might be some women very polite about it, but I'm not.
Yeah. Dale, I'm kind of interested to ask on a slightly different tack, which is that there isn't a single thing that you've said so far which has anything to do with physicality.
Oh, okay.
Like there's a whole thing out there, and there's even research which supposedly says that, you know, that women want taller men.
Oh, yeah.
They
I have friends that will not date short guys. They
sorry,
won't. I have friends that will not date shorter guys. They will not. They don't want to date anybody shorter than them. And so what I find with that is I talk to them, I try to help them shift that because I think that's extremely limiting. It's like one thing about women, from what I understand, from the women that I coach, you could look at, like I can look at a man and not be physically attracted to the man at all, like zero chemistry, right? But as I get to know him, if I find out that he's brilliant, that he's creative, that he cares about people and he spends most of his life or a lot of his life caring about other people and he really has a heart that makes a difference on the planet, I could be majorly in love and have enormous, fabulous sex life with him, like, you know, 6 months to a year from then. But for me, in my understanding, it takes at least 3 months to know a guy. And the other thing, if a man really wants a long-term relationship with a woman, it's really wise for him to be patient and let her take her time getting to know you. Now, there are some women that just jump into bed with guys right away, and that doesn't really not always work so well for a long-term relationship. I coach my female clients to wait 3 months before they go to a real deep sexual place so they can see who the man is.
You know, Dale, following up on John's question, because we've known each other for a long time and because we're friends, I think that you found yourself in that position at one point where you were telling me about someone who physically was not your type at all.
Exactly.
Can you talk a little bit more about that and from a woman's perspective? Because I know for men, we have this, a lot of us have this ideal of who the perfect woman is for us, what she looks like, how she behaves, whatever. And I think that for women, that might be a bit different. And I'd like you to just address that concept from your experience of what you had shared with me a few years ago.
a few years ago. Okay, let me see if I can remember. So
okay, I'll remember. I'll remind you that the doctor that would come over.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That you
all
worked
right.
with.
So there you have it. All right, I was not attracted to this guy at all. Bigger body. You know, I like a man. My ideal guy is a man who's like, you know, 6'3". He's got a lean body. He's got muscles. Not a muscle man, but he, you know, I'll know that if I'm in trouble, he'll be able to protect me. He knows, you know, he knows how to take care of himself, and he'd be able to take care of me. I want to feel safe with a guy like that. Or a man, but I would put all that aside. So this other guy who came up, but, you know, by the way, it was 6 months to a year before I got close to him on a sexual level, just so you know that. Did
right.
not go there because it took me a while to go beyond his physicality. So a woman has the ability, different from what I understand with men. Men, chemistry basically has to be there at least a little bit right away, and that can grow. But for women, I had no chemistry for this man at all. But I got, and he had, you know, an extra 40 pounds or something on it, which is not my thing at all. I take good care of myself, and I want to be with a guy that matches that. However, he has all of those other things which I just adore. He cares about people. His whole life is about service. He's brilliant. We have conversations. He's got a great sense of humor. Guess what? All of that went out the window because all of a sudden I start feeling real love for him. So when I have love for him, and then I, you know, when we got together, he's extraordinary. His heart and my heart became one heart. So it's beyond lust. See, I could, you know, it's beyond lust. When there's real love there, to me, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter what shape, what size the person or the man is. When there's real love there, and that doesn't happen overnight. That took me 6 months to a year to have that real love there.
So do you, I mean, do you think that that's kind of from a woman's perspective, that all of those other traits, well, I guess, do they trump the 6'3" lean guy at the end of the day, or
they trump it by far, especially if the 6'3" guy doesn't treat him like a queen. If the man treats the woman like a queen, I swear to God, he could be like, what was the name of that fairy tale, the monster where the woman fell in love with that guy that was the other
Hunchback?
Yes. Okay, now that's the female. Because he wasn't he so kind to her and everything that finally she fell in love with him? She fell in love with his heart. And then what happened? That is it in a nutshell. The guy could be like the hunch from Notre Dame, I mean, or Notre Dame, whatever it's called. The guy could be so weird, but if she can see his heart and connect with his heart, if he can show her the heart and they connect deeply in heart, then the woman can be totally changed, especially if the man's a good lover, by the way. That makes a big difference.
Okay.
A woman wants to know that the man knows what he's doing. So shall we get down and talk about that or not? Is this PG?
not at all. But I before you go there, I still have a question I think that I'd like to ask because I think a lot of the advice you're giving or a lot of the indications you're giving are really good for men who are already in a relationship. But for men who aren't tall and who aren't handsome, what I'm hearing you say in a way is that the quality that men who are not tall and handsome, what they most need is huge patience.
That's right.
Because they're going to have to wait. They're going to have to wait a long time. And I kind of feel that there's something more to this about, well, how do men actually handle that? Because there's a bit more than patience. It's about how do you hang in there? How do you not kind of what should stop men going into rejection or thinking that there's, you know, no hope for them?
A man
who's
done enough
from?
Work on himself. A man who has enough confidence. There's nothing sexier than a man who has confidence. knowing that, okay, baby, if it's not you, it's okay. If it's not now, it will be. You're mine. If a man can say, you're mine, you don't know it yet, but you're mine in his head, and if he really wants her, and if he really has the ability to treat her like a queen, a woman falls in love with the way a man treats her. It's that simple. You treat a woman really, really well. Most women who are quality women will love that. And but he has to have integrity. That means he just doesn't do it to get her. He does it as a lifestyle. Because you make that woman happy, she'll be given to you all the time. But you get, you know, you heard the thing, mama not happy, nobody happy. It's true. It's the woman who has the breasts. She nurtures and she gives, but first she needs to be totally taken care of and cherished. There's a book called Women Come First. It's a great book for men to read. Women Come First. It's like the whole thing. You bring a woman to bed, you please her first and make sure that she has amazing orgasms and all that first, and then you get to then enjoy even more than you can ever imagine. And it also, it's the essence of that, because you treat her and you make her so full and so happy. We're talking about a woman who is already has self-esteem put together and all that pretty much, that then she just has to give back to you because she's so full. It's a law of reciprocity. And then you're going to get so much more than you could imagine. Now, I'm talking about a woman who's done her work. There's a lot of women who need to still do their work. And a woman who's done her work means she's discovered that she's not going to be rescued. She doesn't need to be rescued, but she's ready for a partner. That she has a life that she already enjoys it, that she feels connected to her own divinity, to her own sexuality. I was just working with a woman yesterday, teaching her some techniques on how to work with herself, so she's so full and juicy that she cannot help but radiate that glow where guys are going to come for her, with her, want to be with her. But she's doing her emotional, spiritual, and other work. So I'm talking about women who are already pretty full. Now, there are a lot of women, as well as guys, who are still in the process of doing their work. So, you know, this is, it's a dance.
Yes, it is. So let's get back to what you were talking about, where you wanted to take a conversation a couple of minutes ago. If you can recall with regards to the sexual aspect of this.
Oh, I have no problem remembering that. I want to ask John, okay, though, if he got, did you get the information you wanted, John?
I did, thank you, Dale. I mean,
awesome.
I wanted Roger to come back to where you were going before. If we have time after that, there is somewhere else that I'd like to take that. But, for now,
okay,
you carry on.
Okay, good. All right, so one of my favorite subjects is sex. Is that what you want to talk
Dale.
About?
Yeah, hold on. I was telling John this morning, and I was looking up, I Googled, what is it that women want from men in relationships, which is just like, if you haven't done it, you should, because you get like the most amazing things that pop up on the screen, you know. Seven ways, 25 things, 8 things that guys should know about women. It goes on and on and on, right?
Right.
So I opened up one of the lists that was shown there in my Google search, and a couple of things in regards to our next kind of where we're going next popped out at me, because I firmly believe that there's a lot of truth in these. And one you've kind of already touched on, and it has to do with, sexual mastery, right? And what it said in here, it said that women become instantly addicted to skillful lovers and make them feel, have these feelings of ecstasy, right?
Yeah.
And there's also, and then further down in on this list, the author of this, who was a woman, talked about dominance, right? And that there's an unconscious attraction to dominant men. And it said in there that dominant males in some primate groups account for 75% of mating with desirable females. And it's about knowing what you want and going after it. And it's not about assertiveness that makes women feel intimidated or uncomfortable or oversteps their boundaries. So there's that healthy dominance, sexual mastery thing that this woman was writing about. And I'd like to know kind of where you see things from a female perspective, given all that you know about being a woman and what men want.
Okay, well, let me see. Kind of wondering about which way to go here, but I could say, you're talking about dominance? You're talking about what women want?
I'm just bringing this, tying these two together because I kind of see these, if you do that dance, there's that unconscious attraction thing that happens. But I want you to kind of answer it in your own way and what you were going to talk about.
Okay. So the whole thing is, like, what women want or what my friends want, what women want when it comes to sexuality. Like, number one, on the dance floor, you want a man who's firm, who's holding you, who knows the steps. You want him to, like, take you in his arms, and he has a strong hold on you. He's not choking you. He's not squeezing you, but he's holding you firm. You know he's there.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's one, like, on the dance floor. And then when he moves with his steps, you want him to be confident and let him guide you, right? So the one thing that I always love about a man, whether he's really, super masculine, dominant kind of guy, is the most sexy point, may I have permission to enter you? That's like a little bit further down. That's a powerful thing that a lot of men don't ask. May I have permission to enter you?
Why do you think that's a big deal?
Because I feel so honored at that moment. Very honored. And that he cherishes me so much that he's being respectful on that level. He's just saying, may I have permission? My queen, may I? And that just, he has power, I have power, and he's honoring my power.
Right.
And then later on, while we're playing around, if he wants to, like, you know, pull my hair or, you know, tie me, you know, with his hands, his big hands. Did I say tie me down? You know, just, like, put his arm on my arm so I can't move. You know, like, do little fun play things in the bed. That's always fun. But the bottom line is, for the woman, that book, A Woman Comes First, it makes it very clear that you want to please the woman first. You want her body to be juicy, and there are at least four spots that a woman can have orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one is the G-spot, which is a very simple technique that guys really need to know, and a lot of them don't. It's just, you can look it up on the Google, but basically it's finding the G-spot, which is sponging, and then, like, doing the cum heather with your finger. That's one way. And then there's the clitoral arousal, and you do both of them at the same time. You're going to have some rivers flowing. And then there's the cervical orgasm, and then there's the whole vaginal orgasm, and there's a whole body orgasm, and there's a heart orgasm. You know,
right.
If you want to make your woman an orgasmic woman, take a little time to do some research. How does that happen? And it's not on porn sites. It's not on porn sites. You will not get these great techniques on porn sites.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there. Porn sites are there for entertainment and excitement. But to have real intimacy, it's a different experience.
Okay.
So did that help in a few minutes or less?
Dale, I'm interested to follow that question too, with your perception from your conversation with other women. How much variation would you say you hear between one woman and another about which of those kind of different locations that you've just described?
They don't know what I'm talking about. They've not had these kind of lovers. Some women I've worked with, and 40 years old, not even had an orgasm. Can I tell you, that makes me a little upset. Not even had an orgasm.
That's
all right?
Sad.
So I train them. I tell them what to do. Tell them what to do with their men. And, you know, but some guys don't want to hear this stuff. So, you know. Or I'd basically get another man who knows, who is open and willing. The main thing is for a man to, if he can't, I don't know, how do you guys feel about having a woman tell you what she likes?
For me, totally okay. I mean, I want to say that, you know, I've kind of done a lot of reading, and I've done some of the tantra workshops and so
Beautiful.
On. So I understand the territory you're talking about. And the reason I asked the question that I did was, I mean, I don't have a, you know, I've had some fairly stable relationships, so I don't have an enormous number of partners to talk about. But what I have experienced is, I would say, quite substantial differences between one woman and another in terms of what actually are hot spots for them.
There you go. So therefore, you're a sensitive man. You have trained your senses to be aware and listen to the woman's body. My favorite lover listens to my body. He knows. I say to him, I said, you're an amazing man. I just listen to your body. So if you can listen to the woman's body, watch whether her body, you know, whether it arches, whether the back arches, watch her breathing, watch the smile on her face or the sounds or the groans or the lack of it. You know, asking her what she likes.
Well,
do you like
that's
this?
That's a big one.
Yeah, would you like, in the middle of lovemaking, do you like this, baby? Do you want more of this? You want it lighter? You want it heavier? And then sometimes
yeah,
just
I mean, it's interesting.
What surprises me about how the way the world has gone, and I mean, you know, porn hasn't helped in the last 10 or 20 years, but But even before, you know, before porn was kind of everywhere, somehow there's been a notion that that it wouldn't be normal for men and women to actually have that conversation.
I know, it surprises me. No, you have to have a, and it's, some people don't want to talk about it. And pillow talk is great. Afterwards, you know, say, hey, you know, I was just wondering, could we talk about this? For a guy to say that, I don't know. I'll ask guy, would you like to have a conversation about this? No, I just want to be here and be with you. And it's like, okay, all right.
Well, it's like, you know, I was, I have a nephew who walked up to me when I was visiting back in the Midwest last year. He came up to me and he said, do you know how to make a woman come? I said, no. he goes,
you
who cares?
You said no?
No. It was a joke, right? But the joke was, do you know how to make a woman come? And the punchline is, who cares, right, from a male perspective. But there's all, and I bring that up because there's that attitude among, I would say, a lot of men, and I can't give you a number or a percentage, but there's a lot of men who are like that, right? It's like, what's one of the biggest complaints that women have about men and sex? After an orgasm, they fall asleep right away, right? Or they have one foot on the floor, and when they're done, they're out of your place and hitting the road. There's no time to explore. There's no time to have conversations because, like you said, people are very, very, very uncomfortable with sexuality, and it's not only men; it's women. I mean, you know, I remember having a friend who. Like, sex came out of every pore of her body, her sexuality, her sensuality, and she would walk into a room and every man would be attracted and every woman would be pissed off.
Right. I know that one.
Yeah. So it's about having conversation, I think, and that's part of why we're doing this show.
Yeah, it's a pillow talk. Pillow talk is powerful. It's when the hearts are open and, you know, you can just, like, look at it. You look in each other's eyes while you're lovemaking, but also after, you know, you just, it's just a really sweet, tender time to be. One of the best things a man can do after making love with a woman, hold her in your arms, look at her, say, hey, baby, you know, what is it, how can I support you more in your life? You want to make a woman really, like, be yours? How can I support you more? What do you need more of me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by him doing that, then she's gonna woman up. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
gonna be a man up. She's gonna woman up,
right.
And she's gonna, like, there's a law of reciprocity. A man can't outgive
yeah.
a woman. I don't think so. And if he keeps giving to her and she doesn't give back, you're with the wrong woman. Because there
exactly.
are some women and some men you can give and do all these things with, and they're not if they're not being reciprocity's not there and it's not the flow back, then you ask yourself, does this feel light? It's true and it's good. Does it feel heavy? Then perhaps you're not with the right one.
Let me ask, I want to go off this topic just for a second and ask you a question, because we're almost out of time here. And I heard this on another program. It was actually two women talking about this, and specifically having to do with relationships between men and women. And so I want to get your perspective on this. And what they said was this, that women have a list, like a checkoff list, when
they
meet a man. And if they just go down the line and they just check the boxes, and if one of the boxes is empty, your history, and they move on to the next one. Is that accurate?
With women who've been around a lot and who've gone and who've had heartbreak after heartbreak, now they're getting really clear and strong. Nope, I will. This is non-negotiable. I invite people to just find out what the non-negotiables are. A lot of the non-negotiables are integrity, honesty, loyalty. Man needs to be able to take care of himself, and it would be lovely if she could take care of him. But, I mean, if he could take care of her, but that's not always the one. But most women want to be taken care of monetarily, not all. But at least, you know, being able to help out more. At least 60%. Not all, but a lot. Integrity, honesty, loyalty, funny. Women want guys with humor, great lovers. They want to be connected physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. They want to, these are women who've done work on themselves where they've already looked at this. They want him to be able to be generous and kind, compassionate and understanding, have wisdom. Okay, so, you know, out of all of those, I tell them to pick at least the top five, which are non-negotiable, mm-hmm. and then work with the others and see if there's place to grow. Typically, they say when men and women get together, men want women to stay the same and women want them to change. You know, even with all the work I've done, I still find that I fall in that category and have to catch myself and say, nope, this is what it is.
Right.
It may never change. So, but truthfully, if a couple is not growing, they're dying. They're going to either grow closer together or further apart. And in birthing a baby, okay, this is a woman's point of view, there are times when you contract and the baby is getting squeezed, and then there's a time for expansion. So in relationships, it's the same thing. So there are times where there's contraction and expansion.
Right. Good.
Does that help?
So,
I mean, the basic thing is women want loyalty, honesty. They want them to be self-sufficient. And to be able to hopefully take care of them as well. They want them. You know, one big thing where women have a hard time when they're dating over a certain age is all of a sudden the guys have ex-wives that they've already given half of their pension and money to.
Mm-hmm.
So now those guys are out there. They, if they don't have the financial security to offer a woman, which a lot of women want, but not all of them, what they want to do is they want to make sure they're integrous, they're honest, they're loyal. They're kind, they're compassionate, they're understanding. And a lot of them want men who have done their work. That's a big one. Men who have done
right.
their emotional work. If they haven't done their work, if they're not emotional, you know, and it shows in driving the car. If a guy they can go to gurus and be all spiritual and stuff, and they're in the car and they're swearing at somebody who cut them off, that means it quite hasn't gone down to their emotional level yet. So they're still emotionally 12 years old or 2 years old, their temper tantrum on the freeway. That doesn't serve well, and it doesn't look good.
Right. Well, I guess I have work to do.
Yeah. We all do. I'm going to write a book on that because I used to be the world's worst rageaholic on the road. I'm not that anymore. I pray. By the way, one way to get through that is pray. Put the light of the universe around your car and just ask for the wisdom and the love and compassion and understanding every time you're in that car that you're a ball of light. Anybody who goes in front of you, just slow down and you say, I'm going to be generous today and I'm going to let you in front of me. You change it in your head. You do a reframe. You're not cutting me off. You're not taking my power away by cutting me off. I'm going to slow down because I'm such a generous king. I have all the
there
time in
go.
The world.
I'm
going to slow down and I'm going to let you move ahead.
Thank you. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of the show, and I have a few things to share, and I think John has some closing things probably as well. And just if you'd hold on, Dale, and we'll come back to you again just here in a couple minutes.
Okay.
What I'd like to do, I want to encourage everybody who either is listening to the show live or will be listening to the show later, to give us your feedback on what you heard today. You can do that on our Facebook page, What's Right About Men, or at our email. You can email us at writeaboutmen@gmail.com. That's writeaboutmen@gmail.com. John?
Yeah, I mean, we're very keen to have as much feedback as we can. I want to say also, how appreciative I am of the kind of the open way in which you've been taking these conversations, Dale. And I think there's a lot here for us to follow up on. One of the particular things that I would like to hear from in terms of feedback from men is how can we help? I mean, Roger's about to produce his Confessions of an Intimacy Invalid. I have a book which is kind of sitting there waiting to come out called Sex and the Empowered Man. We have a lot of information here. I'm very interested to hear, given what you've said, which is very much about emotional intelligence and about men finding a different place than I think the one they've had for the last couple of decades in themselves, I'm very interested to hear some feedback on what it is that we can do, in this show. What are the topics we should cover? What can we say more about? What are the things that we could be doing off the show that would help people, both men and women, but particularly because of where Roger and I are coming from? We have a focus obviously towards what we know and what we can deliver towards men. So I'm just very grateful for you opening up these areas, Dale, and thank you very much for that.
Great, and I love it. I love your book. Sounds like a fun book to read. Is it out?
It's in the kind of last few stages of review and editing, so it will be
beautiful.
Out shortly, and possibly I'll offer the first couple of chapters as a download through the show in due course.
Good,
so,
I love that.
So, if anybody listening would like to also get a hold of Dale, she can be reached at DaleBach. That's DaleBach.com. And I would encourage that. And then the topic for next week's show is going to play off what we just discussed, which is what is it that men want from women? And that will probably be, what, John, a five-minute show? Just kidding. I think that that's going to be a good it's going to be a good way to kind of, I don't even know what I'm trying to, what the words I'm looking for is, but it's going to be a good compliment, that's it, to the show that we had today, and balance the conversation. So I encourage everybody to give us your comments, visit our Facebook page, and Dale, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, and We'll talk to you.
And my pleasure.
To you soon.
Thank you. I would just like to mention, if anybody wants to know a little bit more about what I do, I'm doing groups to help people. If they're not in that emotional intelligence place and want to get better, contact me. I'd be glad
Absolutely.
To help. I'm doing group programs
okay.
as well. Thank
Thanks.
You. I love being on the show. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
Thanks, Dale. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.